Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is your official spoiler warning. If you have not seen Gamer starring Gerard Butler, then and you were meaning to, you've been meaning to see it for the last 13 years and you just haven't gotten around to it, well, we're going to talk about other shit, but once we get onto the movie after the ad break, it's a spoiler town. This has been your official spoiler warning.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg and a fucking chicken. I'm putting a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man. Luigi Mario.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where each week me and my mate Zach chat shit about John. But not shit, because we love him. We chat love about John Leguizamo and everything he's ever been in ever. Film, television, commercials for Spanish medication. What was that one that he did?
It was a Spanish language commercial for Medicare,
yeah.
Like a discount. His grandma. What is it?
It was his grandmother.
But what's that in Spanish? Abuela? Abuela? His abuela.
Sure.
He was like, abuela, we believe, because there was no subtitles.
Yes.
He was like, abuela, don't you know you can get a discount on this medication if you present them with this form?
Yes, that's right. And I'd be willing to place a good solid fitty buck that there is no podcast in the world dedicated to that commercial except ours. I'd place fitty on it. Find me another one. There's your homework.
I think in the world of podcasts, the chances of there being only one is rare. There's probably like a podcast about Spanish language commercials in the American market.
If you find me one, I've got to part with Fitty. Just find me one. Anyway, we're your hosts. My name is Mish. You might know me from
any commercial work you've done.
And I was going to talk about games.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's good.
I like The Last of Us.
Yeah.
A lot of people know that about me. It's the only game I've really truly enjoyed. And Uncharted, both of those. I'm joined, as always, by my very dear friend. It's Zach. And you might know him from?
Really loves the game Monkey Island, but the two-dimensional click-and-solve ones, one and two. I haven't played any of the ones after that.
Great.
Yeah.
We've brought in a guest today. Now, if you've been listening to us for a while, you know that we have a couple of go-tos, right? We've got our sci-fi boy.
Yeah.
We have our Batman boy. We have a sporty boy recently.
Yeah.
Mate, I reckon we got a bit of a gamer boy here. I think we've got our gamer boy.
She was a gamer boy.
We've had them on before. You might remember the classic Leguizamarama episode, Big Balls.
Oh, yeah.
In which this guest joined us. But, you know, she's also a phenomenal comedian, like an absolutely incredible writer, and she loves the Xbox. It's Lena Moon.
Thank you so much. I actually don't own an Xbox.
Whatever. You like games?
Yeah, I like games. Unfortunately, that has become a huge part of my brand.
Yeah. You have to take that with you now.
I really do.
But you do like gaming.
I do. I love games. I actually tried to play the newer Monkey Island, and I couldn't get through it. Much like a book. That's how I talk about games now, is like they're books. I'm like, ah. I picked it up. I thumbed the pages. I don't know. It wasn't for me. I used to love adventure games though. Like,
the click and solve ones.
Yeah. Like,
do you remember a game called Myst?
Yeah. Myst. Myst is a great one.
How good was Myst?
Myst was really good.
I recently downloaded an old one called, I can't remember. You keep talking and I'll look up the name.
I'm actually fully blanking on the name because of my neurodivergent brain, but crazy. I have ADHD if it hasn't come up. It's unfortunately another thing that's really big part of my brand. What is it called? It's like an adventure game. I can see the
Zelda?
Art in my head.
Zelda?
No, it's the point and click one from the 90s. It was around the same time. It was also LucasArts, which is, I'm pretty sure, the developers of the games Zach was talking about. But you play like a Grim Fandango.
Grim Fandango.
Such a good game. But yeah, no, I'm a gamer. I guess it's become a huge part of my life, which is nice because I was like really into it when I was younger, and then had to go do the things like smoke cigarettes and chase boys' attention and drink alcohol. And then
some of us never stopped doing any of those things.
Don't worry, I still do all of that. But I mean, actually turned that into a gaming thing.
Well, you were the rise of the COVID Twitches.
I was.
Because Twitch, I never knew it was a thing, and I certainly didn't think I had any friends that were gamers because I don't hang out with fucking nerds.
Yeah, fair.
But then we all went into lockdown, and for any of our listeners that aren't in Melbourne, you might be aware that Melbourne had like extreme lockdowns. We were in our I was in my apartment for about 6 months.
We were real gophers.
And I got through like so much of that watching my friends play games on Twitch.
Yeah, forming really parasocial relationships with all of us.
And now you've built this like empire.
Yeah, empire is a strong word, but it's Lenpire. No, sorry,
mate, turn that into something.
Absolutely not. But yeah, no, it's like it's one of my big things. It's how I pay rent a lot, and I have an agent now, and sometimes I play games for developers. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Cool.
It is crazy. It's really like, gosh, you want to talk about falling ass first into something. I just needed something to do in lockdown and a place to put all my creative energy. And it turned out to be this really cool thing. And it's, look, not without its shortcomings, but it's pretty great. And it's a really, like, I've had you both on my streams before, and you can see the appeal, but also the intensity of it.
I feel like for me, because I always love doing lives on Instagram, and that's like almost bordering on sounding like a boomer.
Yeah.
But I love doing lives. I love nothing more than a formless riff.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was almost like streaming during COVID was like a vortex that I was if all I had to do to become a streamer was let go.
Yeah.
I kept being like, oh no. But all I had to do was like, all right. And then I would have just become a streamer.
It was like a real like coming out thing for me. It was like, look, I've been like a closeted like attention lover and gamer for a long time. And I'm willing to admit that this platform has its ick, but here I am. Mm. Not that being gay has an ick. I know how that sounded.
No, it didn't sound like that.
Well, I made it sound like
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's someone who has a constant stream of comments.
that's the result of being chronically online.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love it because I genuinely feel like, and this is not to butter up the people who watch me, but I feel like I genuinely have attracted some of the funniest people to come and watch.
Yeah.
And so there is a really nice, like, oh, that's a really funny in-joke that we've all made together. Like, how can I reward that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, a lot of that is why I love it.
I did this 24-hour stream thing earlier this year. And also, by the time this come out, it might have already happened. I'm doing it again. Not 24 hours. I'm just finishing the game playing. But I did a 24-hour stream and a lot of your, like, viewers...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Community
came on over to the 24-hour stream and was actually lovely. And to be completely honest with you, a lot of people are like, oh my God, were you fucked after? Yes, I was very tired, but I really enjoyed
it. It's fun.
Like I genuinely found it really enjoyable to just be able to just chat with these people.
Yeah.
It was really good. Yeah. And when you're sitting at 4 a.m. and you've been awake for that long and there are just people that have been sitting with you
for
like 18 hours and we just ended up talking about jam. So what happened was at like 4 a.m., I don't know how we got onto it, but I was just talking to these people while I played The Last of Us. And I started saying how my great-grandmother really loved marmalade. And because she really loved marmalade, every time I smell marmalade or say, like, even though I don't love it, I'll eat it because it reminds me of my great-grandmother. And then at the end, when the 24 hours was over, I was like, all right, thank you so much, everyone, just saying goodbye to everyone. And someone was just like, just shout out to your great-grandmother Irene. And I lost it. Yeah, I started crying it's laughter because so I was like, that's so fucking funny. Yeah.
And then the next level of that is you create a P.O. box and people start sending jam to the P.O. box. Like, yeah. I'm telling you, that is like, I told one story about fainting in a JB Hi-Fi and I checked my P.O. box a couple of weeks later and there was a mug that said, don't talk to me before I fainted in a JB Hi-Fi. Like,
that's great.
It's like a really nice way to build on and like fan
Why
art.
Do you need to set up a P.O. box? Why don't you just give them your home address?
Because I thought giving them my direct email and phone number and credit card number was enough.
Yeah, right.
Like that was like, you know, intimate enough. One boundary. But yeah, I mean, like you look at Demi and Tom and they have a playroom full of the in-joke stuff that they get sent. They have a cardboard cutout of Wonder Woman. They have 60 pickle, inflatable pickles. They
are from all over the world as well. Do you find them mostly in Australia?
Yeah. I'm trying to put a stop to it because I don't want anything else.
More stuff.
I already have a virgin room. I don't need to make that worse. Yeah. It is like... I've got a fart neon sign with a Mario
Did
golf
someone send
trophy.
That, to you?
That was crowdfunded.
Oh yeah, that's very. I love that.
Yeah, and I've got like a neon, a Mario trophy, Mario golf trophy that someone made. Mm. I mean, that was from something, but you know, and I've got like really cool fan art. Actually, one of my favorite things on my wall is so there's a member of my community who's like a really amazing synth. Musician, and they take samples of my voice and make really cool music that they then let me use as part of the stream. But someone who's an artist put that music into like a visual generator and produced these like gradient like art things that are results of the songs.
Oh wow!
Which is like really cool. Like, and that's like what happens when a bunch of like. Creative nerds are in the same place for long enough. So it is like a really cool thing. Sometimes I forget how cool it is because you're so tired and you're like, they're really just making fun of me a lot, huh? Like, it's just my life. But yeah, it's you know, it's like equal parts rewarding and horrifying, which is, I guess, having a job.
Yeah.
I love it for you. I think it's sick. I really, really enjoyed watching. I used to watch you all the time. I'm talking like I didn't know you. You were my friend. I wasn't being fucking weird about
it. And you still drop in.
I drop in from time to time, a little cheeky hello.
I very rarely. I'm not. I just rarely watch Twitch, but I do. It is a thrill when it's someone I know.
Do you ever just go, if you love going live so much, do you ever just go live?
I went live walking Mabel the other day and I was half asleep and I was in the park and there were no lights. It was like really late, so no one could see me. So I just went live and I was just like, hey, I'm walking. And it was, I just called it Walking Mabel. So just like it was all black with
That's
maybe.
An IRL stream right there.
With occasionally like my, I think you could occasionally see my silhouette because a street light got through the park. And just occasionally I'd be like, Mabel, no, honey, no. Just a black screen while I chatted. Yeah, that was the last time I went live, yeah.
I find the IRL streams so weird but also great. Like one of my white noise things that I have on at all times, or not at all times but every so often, is like if one of my friends isn't live, I'll put the, like there's live streams of people just walking around Japan or like that with like a GoPro in their chest, just live streaming it, or
Amazing.
Like riding a bike through.
And people,
like,
people pay people to do that.
Well, it's like the same thing that people say about, and they pay you to do it. It's like, well, yeah, they subscribe to it, and then like, yeah,
so interesting. They're really, because this is the thing from doing my 24-hour stream. There really is. You could, people will pay you to do anything. Mm. Really,
like, where it gets really dangerous with people in comedy, and I have fallen into this trap. Is there is a lot of like, if you do this, how much to do this?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I'm like, well, fuck, I could really, I don't know if I can swear on this pod. Sorry if I can't. Okay, good.
I just realized as well, the most recent episode that just came out in the spoiler warning, I was like, we're just a couple cans. So we're not getting any money for that episode, right. Mate. Sorry about that.
That's good to know. But I will, that's my one. I'll do
no,
one.
No, you can swear. We
don't. No, please swear. Like, it's absolutely fine.
I like money. I'm just about to talk about how much I like money. And I want you to have money.
That's fine.
But yeah, it's like, it's so weird because it's so, I have this thing in my head where if something's on TV, it's pretend. no matter if it's on my computer or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the only way I can contextualize anything. Mm-hmm. And so if, like, someone's like, oh, like, do something, like, sing a stupid song for $50, I'm like, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. Because I don't, like, when I'm in that world, it's not as much of a...
Do you have, like, a kink Rolodex?
That's what I'm worried about. Zach, I think it's by simply existing. I'm, you know, someone's kink. And, like, I realized the other day, like, I'm like, I don't have great... You know how, like, comedians have, like, great, like, heckler shorthand that they can always pull out? My kink shorthand, which you have to have existing on Twitch, is so bad because most of the time it's just me going, hope that got you over the line, buddy, and then just like giving them a direct thumbs up.
What's an example of a good, like, kink shorthand?
Well, like some, like, I don't know, being like, because you don't, like, I actually, like, I'm like, whatever, I'm not going to shame you. Like, if you need me to read you telling me you want to kill me and then say I hate you, you should die so that you can come. Mm. Like, I...
That's fine by me.
I'm, you know... That's fine. I can facilitate that.
I could 100. Yeah. If someone wants to give me $50 so that they can jerk off while I say I hate you, yeah. I will do $40.
Yeah.
I'll do it for $40.
Yeah, name your price. It's pretty low. But like, also, that's
where I'm at. Like, honest to God, have you fallen onto Findom TikTok before?
No.
No. My TikTok's... My TikTok's different. We all have different TikToks. We're all individuals.
Findom TikTok, I just mean that I saw a video.
Oh, are you talking? Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Of a woman who was just like, okay, I'm just going to show you how to make a fuck ton of money. Showed proof that she made $1,000 in an hour.
Whoa.
And all she did was she'd created this Twitter account and had built it up for about a month. It took about a month for her to build it up and, like, post things. And she's a Findom and she's just like, send me your money. Yeah. And so people will be like, I've just sent you $100, and she'll ignore them, and they keep sending money. Whoa. They're like, talk to me, please talk to me. And she just keeps ignoring, they just keep sending her money.
I don't have that skill.
Or they'll be like, hey, and she'll be like, send me money, pig.
Yeah.
And then they'll just send her hundreds of dollars. I'm like, I would be so, I'm sorry, send me money, please, pig. I'm so sorry.
It's like my, because like my other
short. Because if that turns someone on, me feeling.
It would.
Deeply apologetic.
Everyone. That's like the other day, someone came into my chat and said something along the lines of like, they were like, hey, my name is like IP Freely or whatever. Mm. So they're trying to get me to say like penis or whatever. Mm. And now when that stuff comes in, or they're trying to get me to like say something dirty, like, or pussy or like whatever, I'll go, okay, so I think this person's trying to get me to say pussy. So I'm just going to say pussy. And I hope that helped. I hope that was what you needed. I'm saying pussy. And like,
but that probably made someone's day. Well, that person's dick probably fell off when they did that. I think I've told this story on a pod before. I don't think it was ours. But, like, when I realized that, like, there is a kink for everyone. Everyone likes something different. And, like, honestly, like, amazing. I went on a date with a guy when I first started my dating journey. So it's 2017. Yeah. I went on one of my first ever, like, app dates. Went on a date with a guy, and it was not a great first date. It was fairly boring. We didn't have a lot in common, right? It was just that kind of thing. He was very cute. We got talking and we'd had a couple of drinks. We were a few drinks deep and we both realized to a certain point that personality wise, we didn't line up, but we were just having this really great chat. And we started talking about he started talking to me. I didn't talk to him about any of this shit, but he started talking to me about things he finds really attractive that a lot of other people don't. And he goes, I have one. He's like, I have one that's very specific that I really, really like. And it's my fantasy. Yeah.
First date.
Yeah. He was just over. I was like, I'm never going to see this guy again. We're on the rooftop of Cookie.
Okay. Lean in.
Yeah. So I was like, go for it. I found him. It was very early in my dating. And so I wasn't like completely savvy to let's not engage in conversations about what makes you want to jack off. Yeah. But like, he was like, oh no, there's a thing very specifically that I love. And the idea of it's never happened for me before. But the idea of it is just like, I'm like, fucking hit me with it. I was like, this guy is so interesting. This guy also taught me, not taught me like physically, but told me how to rip a bucket bong.
Oh, never heard of bucket bongs. They are complex. Before. Not that I would ever do drugs.
No, but like I didn't know about it. He was telling me how to put, I'm like, okay, at that point when he was telling me how to make a bucket bong, I was like, okay, so you and me aren't.
No.
So I was like, let's just learn about this very interesting guy. He also got fired from EB Games for punching his 2IC in the face.
Holy. That tracks.
What's that story? You know that story, five word tragedy, the baby shoes.
Never used. Yeah, yeah, free to a good
I feel
home.
Like
yeah.
that's like the that like that sentence you just said yeah. is the equivalent of that. I know everything I need to know.
Yeah, about
got fired from EB yeah, Games yeah. because he punched into IC.
Can I just say good on a nerd for being in a situation where they were outside the house and able to punch someone.
Oh, absolutely.
But that's the thing, isn't it? It's like you know it's like there's like three pieces of information actually, in that one sentence actually, that helps me triangulate. Like
this
that
guy,
person,
that
exactly.
we love
I've just remembered this guy. This guy was my first ever app date.
Great,
yeah, wow.
Huge. So yeah. What a bar,
yeah. And I was just like, this guy is so fascinating. I never want to see him again. Right, yeah. so fast. That was
yeah.
the vibe.
Yeah,
and I was
kind of like how you're interested in why people murder.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure. If he had a podcast, I'd listen to it.
Yeah,
but I don't want him to know where I live.
100%.
So anyway, in and amongst him talking to me about punching his 2IC and whatnot, started talking about his fantasy, and he's like, "I've never experienced before, and I've always wanted it." And I'm just sitting there sipping my like tequila sunrise or whatever it was I was drinking back. 2017.
I think it probably was that.
Yeah,
or a mojito.
Yeah, something yeah. like that. He goes, "It's me." In a like me, as in like him, in a swimming pool,
great,
surrounded by morbidly obese women,
ah,
like very large naked women in bodies of water.
Right.
That was just his thing. Was just like looking at large women in bodies of water, and I was just like, "That? How did you construct that?"
In yeah. your,
like to go. I get the hardest I'm ever hard.
Yeah.
Is when I think about large women.
It's kind of like.
In bodies of water.
It's kind of like beautiful. Evolution, isn't it, King?
It is beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's
meanwhile, he's punching his 2IC and ripping bucket balls.
I mean, that's interesting because I do find bodies in water. I get that. I get the poetry of that. I don't know why they have to be in the pool too. I guess because then they're in it.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, it's
whatever
not,
gets you over the line, buddy.
Not hurting anybody, but I was just like, that was a moment
it's the
for
specificity.
Me.
Yeah.
I don't love a crazy kink. I love a specific
yeah,
kink.
I don't think I think about my own stuff enough. I'm like, that just is like, I should be more creative.
Well, yeah, and it's like, it's very easy for me to be like, I like beards. But then like, that's like, this man is just like, he has the fantasy. Yeah. I bet he thinks about it most nights.
Yeah.
And it's like, one day is. I want that to happen
I'd
to
love
me.
To make
and
that
I honestly
happen
yeah,
for him. I'd love to like crowdsource
yeah.
that for him.
Yeah.
Just like find every plus size sex worker
yeah,
in Melbourne,
yeah.
hire out a pool and just, and make his fucking day.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That was just his dream was to just watch large women in bodies of water.
Was I he in the pool, did he
no,
say?
No, so he said surrounded by, he's like, well, basically when we unpacked it, it was just that he really liked very, very large women naked
in water.
You know, and the truth is, as a large woman who has been naked in water, it is quite jiggly.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's really nice. There's but we're very buoyant.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's interesting.
There is a movement.
Just, yeah. I'm just now clocking the difference between like a kink and like an erotic kind of, because I was like, oh, it's interesting. Like, that's quite a visual thing.
Mm.
And to me, that makes the experience like, just a visual experience,
I
right?
I love it, yeah.
And it's and that's what a kink is in my, I'm now, or like, it's quite a specific, because like to me, it like an erotica version of that would be like describing what's happening and your emotional experience in it and like, do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I know the difference now. Because to me, I was like, what am I, it's like, I only have one like thing where it's like my erotic thing is like, I really want to be like the first person that a woman who's been in a hetero marriage and just gotten out of it. I want to be the first woman she's with, but she has to be a very specific type of like brunette woman who holds red wine all the time. like an Emily Mortimer yeah. or like, you know, just like someone who's like very like, you know, I read books.
Do you know?
And I,
okay,
and I've just
right.
gotten out of this relationship and my husband was quite, you know, he just never listened to me. I'm like, let me, I'll listen. Like, that's why it's erotica, not like, yeah, it's like, that's the difference. It's like, I could totally write an awesome erotica on that, but like describing that as a fetish
the difference
is very,
between
or like
that,
a
I
kink
reckon.
Is like.
The difference between, for me, erotica and a kink is erotica is like reading a novel. It's like when you get to the end, all of a sudden you realize you're aroused.
Yeah.
Whereas with a kink, you're just like, I'm hard.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm hard.
That's a much better way to say it. Yeah.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? I think erotica, there's a lesson like...
I'm fucking, I'm so
oh hard. My God, I'm rip-roaring.
It's like, I think there's an element where like erotica is like, imagine if this happened. Whereas a kink is more like, hey, could you do this?
Yeah, yeah. It's a flavor versus fantasy.
It's like, I would love this situation to occur.
And I do feel very much like the guy who told me the swimming pool fat women story. It was very much alike. And maybe you.
Maybe we could go for a swim. Yeah.
Maybe it was day a soft two pitch. Can be down at North Pool.
Also, do you have any friends?
This is what I was going to say is that before, it's almost like I feel like there's an element where like sexual fantasy is like evolution in the sense that like, you know how with evolution, it's like it's not the incremental changes just happen because of environment. So it's like, oh, the bird with slightly bigger wings flies a little bit more, so has more babies. Mm-hmm. It's just like when you're jerking off, you're like, well, one woman in the pool, that's working. Maybe if I had another woman, yes.
You're saying that is a Darwinian fetish.
Yeah. There's a lot of fetishes that I can think of, like ones in my mind where I was like, well, what if I fold in it?
It's like a comedy sketch.
Maybe she, then it's like, maybe she's holding a beer. No, maybe she's not, maybe a book. No, a red wine. Okay, lock it in.
Just slowly eliminating.
Yeah, just building it out. Yeah.
My first exposure to, like, I don't know if, the, no, we can keep this, whatever. My first exposure to.
I'm editing in real time.
My first exposure to, like, porn or, like, eroticness was erotic novel.
Yeah, great.
There was like a free erotic.
I wasn't a reader, so I never really got into that Mills and Boone.
Well, I was very young, so I like opened this book and was like, oh, and I was reading it very, very like sensual, silk nighty kind of erotica. Yeah. And that was my first exposure. Like, oh, that's pornography, or ooh, that's meant to be arousing.
Now that you say that, mine would have been fanfic. Like, because this is.
Is this your first exposure to erotic, like to you sensual, know, like,
yeah,
because,
like, I didn't really, girls didn't
not
get,
me feeling a no. certain way, but, like, in terms of, like, I remember, like, I've said this before, the first sex scene I ever saw in a movie when I understood that it was sex was Dirty Dancing.
Right.
I have a very specific memory of watching that from behind a couch being like, oh, that's what my mum was talking about where babies come from.
Okay.
The first exposure to, like, porn.
Yeah, like. People produced erotica. Stuff.
Was a novel, was a book. It wasn't like watching some boobies. Speaking of boobies, that'll bring us into this fucking movie. Yeah, but anyway.
This is going to age me a little bit. And like, because like I didn't touch porn and stuff because it was like, I was friends with little boys and boys was for porn, blah, 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 all that stuff. But I'm now realizing that in my like undergrad where I was like researching screenwriting theory. But that was where I was like, oh, this Xander and Spike. Because, like, you had it on screen and you could be horny for screen stuff because that's what, you know, like, so many women I've spoken to have talked about how, like, that's, like, the awakening is, like, watching scenes or whatever. But, yeah, like, anything written or, like, produced outside of it, like, for me it was like, oh, wow, I guess I should read this Liz Lemon, Alec Baldwin's character. Like, I guess, will this help with character design? No. And now I'm like saying it out loud. I'm like, oh, I've got to figure out my neurodivergent stuff a little bit because in my head I was like, this is not valuable. Just like, this is the one thing I want to do right now. Anyway, funny stuff, good stuff.
Good
Meanwhile,
stuff.
There are
good
kids stuff. Online just like, I mean, this movie is so, oh, not to transition Wait. Into it, but.
No, let's transition to
do
the film.
Do we want to talk about it?
But we've got
so
to go to an ad.
Of these themes
all right,
in
and
it.
After the ad break, have you got one?
No.
After the ad break, we will all be revealing the kink. We wish we had.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, you're back. Hopefully an ad played. Lena, Mish, and Zach will be revealing the kink they
so
wish
funny.
They had. You know, I wish I was more of a foot guy. I don't have a problem with feet. I just think it'd be fun to be into them.
Mine would be, I wish I was a bit more into food.
Yeah.
Like sexually, because I would just be so satisfied.
I think both like, of these are like really like coming up with the thing that's coming up for me, which is like, I just wish I had one that was easily surfaced.
Yeah. Like,
you
food.
Know, just like one that's kind of hack and exists already.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I wish I could just point to one and be like, you know what? There are pages of women sitting on cake. And that's, I wish that was my thing.
100%.
Because there's like, you know, you could just find it really easily. Mm. Yeah, that's so funny.
Fluffy handcuffs.
Yeah. Yeah, like edible undies. Just something you could buy in the store.
Oh, cheeky.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. All right, I'm now going to read a blurb for Gamer.
That's what you are, Lena.
Woohoo! I can't wait to be associated with this.
We asked you to be on this because you do streams, which is for gamers.
Yes, for gaming.
And this movie is called Gamer.
Yep.
Gamer is a high-concept sci-fi action film directed by filmmaking duo Neveldine/Taylor and written by Neveldine & Taylor because presumably the WGA didn't care for the slash. It stars Gerard Butler as a death row inmate in the near future who has agreed to have part of his brain replaced with nanocells so that he can participate as the avatar in an online game to the death in which he is controlled by a player played by the guy from Percy Jackson. And if he wins 30 games, then he gets to go free and he is only three away from winning. The cast is stacked.
Stacked, I tells you.
With Michael C. Hall, open bracket, Dexter, close bracket, as the baddie. Ludacris as a hacker, yet again. Terry Crews as a big baddie. New Zealand's Zoe Bell and as a person who gets their head exploded really early on. Alison Lohman from White Oleander playing a part she said yes to so she could show her versatility on her showreel. And Kira Sedgwick. John Leguizamo plays one of about five characters we meet for a minute, then they die, which makes us realise that this isn't just a game. No, no, no. It's life or death.
Okay.
Oh.
I should say my voice is a little croaky.
No, it's all right.
No.
Just so you have to just say that. So the listener knows I acknowledge it.
Okay. I made notes because this is who I am. I'm very I want to do well. And I just want to share this one note to get us started.
Yeah, please.
I've got two notes.
Talking points.
I've got two notes.
This movie made me not want to defend gaming anymore. But I actually earnestly loved legs in this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, bringing everything they got to what they were given.
He got the best line in the whole movie.
Which
was? You're spooky, you spook me.
You're spooky, you spook me.
I don't know, Mish. There were some pretty solid lines. Maybe I get to breach your firewall one of these days. Was a pickup line. I wrote a couple of very, very good ones. I think that was it, actually.
Yeah. Look, So I'll just... Do you mind if I kick things off real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
So I always had... This movie has been floating about in the ones that we were going to watch, but I always wanted to get Lena on for it because she's our gamer girl and that's what we do. Mm. And I watched the trailer last night before I watched the movie and I was like, oh, God, I have a feeling this one's not for me. And I told my partner about it. I was like, do you want me to go watch this movie upstairs, like in my office, or do you want to watch it with me downstairs in the lounge room? And he's like, oh, God, tell me about it. So I explained that. He goes, this sounds pretty good. He's like, okay, I think I could get into this. Because mindless action films, that my partner loves that shit.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, yep, let's, all right, I could get into this. So we sat down with Stanley, our dog, and we watched this movie. And it got to the end, and this is my partner's opinion. The end of the movie, he turned to me and said, I can say without a shadow of a doubt that that is the worst movie I have ever seen.
Yeah.
Now, I don't agree with him. It's not the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, he clearly hasn't.
But he hated it.
That's funny.
Now, I think that the concept, if you strip it all back, to just the concept of not too distant future, people, what?
I'm with you.
I thought you were trying
to. Okay. No, people avatars.
People avatars being able to play real people, people electing to be played.
Yes.
And even, I can even get behind the inmates thing and
the
you're playing people.
The class stuff is great. Yes.
Great. That, I was like, oh, everything else they put on top of it, I just feel like was not.
Can I counter that though?
Yes.
I'm going to counter that and I'm going to say, because there's a lot of fight to the death inmates, future sci-fi out there. I quite liked this film. It hit me right in the spot. I was a little bit hungover this morning.
Okay.
And it was perfect.
Oh my God, I'm so glad that we have differing opinions.
No, I agree with everything.
You loved the film.
No, I loved it.
Get it.
I stand by everything.
Oscar winning.
Yes.
No. It was perfect for what I wanted. And like everything, every criticism you can level at it, I'm like, yeah.
quickly on that, because that's a good point. I didn't hate this film because, like Zach, like my partner, mindless stuff sometimes is exactly what I want. Unfortunately for me, this wasn't mindless.
No, it's
because
not mindless.
So much of it didn't make sense.
100%.
So I couldn't get on board with the mindlessness of it because I couldn't understand
it. So what I'm going to say, 100%.
So I had to be in it for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, it was like, oh, it actually just doesn't make sense.
I said saying everything and nothing.
Yeah.
That's another note I made.
So the thing I was going to counter to what you were saying, Mish, is more to the fact that you're saying at its very core it has a good plot. I would argue at its very core it seems like a good plot. At its very core it pitches well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But at its very core it doesn't work because at its very core the main character has no control over the main character is controlled by some kid. So there's actually like this there's this dramatic thing that doesn't work.
Yes.
And you'd have to be a very, very clever filmmaker to make it work dramatically.
Totally fix it. Because I think they gave us enough motivation to understand why that guy had put himself in that position. And sure, open the door to giving him autonomy. That's a really interesting centerpiece for the story. But the fact that the kid, there's this moment where they're like, you've got to give control to him. And the kid was like, yep. Because you're like, there's no reason for the kid to, that's the conflict. Yeah. That's the conflict. Give me that kid having all of his shit. Like, I think they tried
all
to
the
do
kid
it.
Playing is the bad guy.
Yeah. Yes.
He's the.
But they were saving that for the big reveal.
Yeah. But that maybe if he was the bad guy, then it's like, I got to get out of here and I got to kill this kid.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's
and
funny.
Oddly enough, Michael C. Hall, who is Dexter, right?
Yeah.
Petrifying as Dexter, arguably. Like, very scary, perfectly well cast.
Yeah.
If you want to completely strip the petrifying nature of Michael C. Hall, watch this movie in which he plays just an evil character.
Yeah.
There is nothing scary about him in this film.
I think I really loved this movie.
Can I say, you asked me here for the gamer point of view, and my big thing was like, I'm very sorry, but we don't all play COD.
Yeah,
there would be other games. There was the porn thing. Mm. But okay, where's my Stardew Valley? Where's just being a farmer? why can't I just where's
no
my architecture
play
one? Yeah, if this tech existed, and I know they tried to
should
keep
we explain
it,
the tech a little bit to the audience? I mean, as best as we can.
I mean, it's pretty. Because then it gets very COVID-y in terms of him threatening to turn into dust a virus.
But basically they replace your cells, your brain cells with cells that can be controlled.
Yeah.
So it becomes a part of your brain.
So there's a chip in there that's
you can
doing
pay
it too.
To be played by other people who are paying to play you.
And you have no autonomy.
You get paid.
You have no autonomy.
You get paid to be played.
Yeah,
you get
but
paid
then, to be played. Sorry. At some point along the way, this guy.
I could have explained this better in my blurb.
No, but it's not explained in the movie.
But it's not.
Ironically,
hard to,
we get a 15-minute TV show exposition
of
the show, and none of us can explain it.
So I think I just remembered the best context to put it in is Michael C. Hall plays this CEO that invented this technology, and the first, or so we think, the first application of it was a Second Life style game where poor people go into this world. I don't know where it happens, they go into this
New York.
And they do it shifts, I think, because one of the characters also goes and visits a human services lawyer or something. So that she just comes in sometimes.
For some reason, she's allowed to exist in a world outside of it, but the people who are the shooting avatars have to go to an internment camp. and
well, yeah, yeah. So that's the first game, which, and we'll talk about that. We will get to that. And then when that did well, he then invented a COD version
called
of the game
Slayers.
Called Slayers. And that version is with inmates, and if they win 30 games, they get out of death row. Mm. So that's the choice that's presented.
And no one's ever gotten out of death row, but Gerard Butler is 3 games away.
Yeah.
He's 3 games away. To go back to the original game, I do just want to say, this is jumping ahead to the ending, but there's a point where it's implied that they do it like shifts. His wife is like, goes into the game sometimes and then can go. And then there's this big rescue scene at the end where he goes into her game and saves her while she's playing. And it's like, why didn't you just wait till, like, she got off shift?
Yeah, it seems like there was no... And, yeah, and also, just to add to that...
Don't go in, Nicole.
Yeah.
Disrupt your wife and that grab works at the deli. She's going to be done in 45.
She's probably got a 15-minute break.
She'll probably have a more appropriate outfit to run around in that she won't be cold.
She won't be getting controlled by, like, the most vicious fat. Phobia character.
Oh my god, that was horrific.
That was just the most the character that plays so Gerard Butler's wife is one of the people who is getting paid to be an actor in this game, right?
Yeah.
That someone can play. And the person that plays her is just the most like horrific example of a gamer and a disgusting fat person.
He's like catfishing using her, and it's I think that the thing that makes him morally bad is that he's overweight and likes porn.
He's not he's not even a hot man. It's like
it's
the
like
moral.
Also, just on that, one of my favorite points about the whole thing, right, is like he gets towards the end and he's like trying to get to Michael C. Hall to like end him, and Michael C. Hall's throwing all these like avatared people at him, and he just has no qualms murdering the shit out of all of these people that are being controlled by something else. Like, he's been through it, and he's like, in the game you understand why he's killing people. You're like, okay, cool. Like, he has to, there's no choice. And now he's in this environment where he should probably be doing better.
He breaks the back of a man about
for
to have
no
sex
reason.
With his wife.
And I'm
it's like this
Avatar.
Guy's being controlled as well. He probably doesn't want to have sex with your wife.
How are you not getting that you're murdering people who are in the same position as you? Yeah. This is like, there is no person in this film that is treated with empathy or dignity.
And at the end,
no one.
At the end of the film, right, he kills Michael C. Hall, right, and he's back together with his daughter and his wife. He's back with his daughter and his wife, and these two people are walking out, the coders, presumably.
Yes!
And he just goes to them, hey, look, Gerard Butler's character, after everything, he's just murdered. Yes! Hundreds of people. His wife has been assaulted, has been completely harassed and assaulted. His daughter is traumatized, and he just goes to these. Hey, could you just chuck it off? Do you reckon you could just chuck? And they're like, and they just go,
okay.
Oh yeah, okay, yep.
I love like it's like.
And then he lets them go after being this murderous dude.
Yeah, remember like, in the 90s at the end, with like you could rip a contract up and that would work?
It's
like, oh no, that was the contract. This is like the 2010 equivalent 100%. Of that.
Yeah.
Just like, what about the board?
Yeah.
Like, what about the investors?
I simply
they'll just instill a new CEO.
It's so funny. It's so funny because he just lets those guys leave and they're like, sorry, man. Like, they know, like. Fuck, it's so funny. And
the aftercare for these people?
Literally nothing. And I think that the other really, I love a movie that has done.
I like it more and more than we
I love
say.
It.
I'm
no,
really
I loved
starting
it on
to
these
enjoy
terms.
It
now. I had a great time.
Now I'm talking about it with other people. It's like, oh, actually, no, this is a really fun one to do this with. But the other thing is I love a film that's like sci-fi that does no work to understand potential trends for the future. Ugh. Like, this was made 13 years ago and they're still doing TV show exposition with like no acknowledgement that TV might be dead, or like everyone's smoking cigarettes. We had e-cigarettes 13 years ago. There's no sort of like moment where they're like, oh, let's like be really careful and smart about how we're using the trends. We're going to do this thing about gaming. And like, is the takeaway gamers are bad? Because I'm pretty sure we knew that. Like, is the message of this film? It's like, what are you doing? And they're like, not all gamers are bad. Oh, I'm going to defend it. Like, you know.
My favorite bit was also at the end when... when they like they, with no context, right? They use his nano cells to turn them back on and broadcast it to the world.
Oh,
right?
So good!
Right, so that's what they do. They broadcast. Yeah.
They
it to jawbreaker
the world. Michael.
I'm going to tell. I'm going to tell the listener who hasn't seen this episode two things.
They jawbreaker.
Yeah,
right? It's a good reference.
That's such a good reference. But I'm gonna tell the listener two things that happen at the end, and I want the listener, with no screenwriting experience, to guess which order it happens in. So they jawbreaker. They use the nano cells to broadcast footage of his final confrontation with the boss to the whole world, Times Square.
Yeah.
Also, in the final scene, the boss reveals his evil plan. He says everything that he's going to do. He says he's going to turn the nano cells into a virus. He says he's going to take over the world. Now, which order do you think that happened in? Do you think it happened that they turned on the nano cells to broadcast before he revealed his evil plan? Or do you think he revealed his evil plan, they turn on the broadcast, and then everyone just sees him being a bit of a prick and then getting murdered by Gerard Butler? Because it was the second.
Yeah, that's so funny. Because, they have that, and that's the conflict of the whole film, is that there was this footage of him murdering someone, and they, out of context, it looked like he did it. And you're right, there was no evidence to suggest that Gerard Butler was didn't just stab the guy. it's a repeat of the same issue. There's no, that's so funny. Oh. And all the people in the room are the only ones that know what happens. And they walked out being like, sorry, dude.
Yeah.
And like,
we'll chuck it off for you, though. Yeah. Like, sorry about that. Talk about it, the more I think this movie's sick. I will never watch it again in my life, but definitely go and watch it.
Yeah.
I think it's my biggest issue with it, right? This is my little rant, is it was that I was excited by the concept. Mm. I was excited by the concept, and I was excited by the low Rotten Tomatoes score. Yeah. I was like, this is just going to be yum, yum, yum. I'm going to get some chippies on Uber Eats. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to watch this fucking movie. And then when I saw that the camera work was that 2010.
Yes.
So like
I
that,
have a point on this.
Well. Yeah, oh my God. That it dates those movies so hard.
They put the camera on a washing machine and walk away.
Yeah. Because what they're doing is it's the Paul Greengrass thing who did I'm thinking of Bloody Sunday and Captain Phillips, but what was his big action one that he did? I'm having a mental blank.
I don't know.
Ben Affleck's friend Matt Damon, Bourne films, when he does it. He is mimicking documentaries. He started this genre. And when he does it, he mimics documentaries. And what happens in documentary filmmaking is the camera person is always trying to get the shot in real time. Mm. So occasionally they have to adjust.
Yes.
Or occasionally they have to zoom. Or occasionally it's a bit wobbly.
Yes. Yeah.
But the goal of the camera person and the editor is to make it as neat as possible and as stable as possible. And you just get a lot of movement because things are happening.
Yeah.
And then something happened where people were like, oh, we got to do the Paul Greengrass thing.
We just got to shake it.
And it's like literally the most unmotivated.
It's jittery and just like stupid. And everything's in a sepia tone.
Can I just say on this, because I think this is actually was my biggest like, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to share this tomorrow because it's such a nerdy thing to say.
But
if you are doing video game, camera is so important.
Yeah.
Because in gaming, camera control is like part of the art of it. If you're playing COD, making sure your camera is like positioned and moving your head around, that's actually a huge focus of the game. So I was pissed off from one of the first like sequences because I was like, stop cutting in front of him, stop showing me the front of him, keep the camera behind him, keep him the avatar, give us that point of view, make us feel like we're playing a video game. Do not just all of a sudden shake everything and then we can just see everything. It's like, let's be artful about this. Like, it was so irritating. And then,
and all with Marilyn Manson doing an Annie Lennox cover in the background.
Sweet dreams.
Not only was watching it hell because it's so jittery and just so infuriating to have that kind of like wildly swinging about your camera, but we've got Marilyn Manson doing an Annie Lennox cover of a song that is phenomenal. Sweet Dreams is
such
phenomenal
a song.
I will never, even though it's like so overused and so overplayed, it's still phenomenal. They put Marilyn Manson fucking
which I think was, I think that song was made for the Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah, and they used it twice. That's so funny.
We're going to use the Not Another Teen Movie song.
It's so good.
But it's also really funny. funny because I was like, there's a couple of stunts in this that, like, there was a bit where he was getting chased by two trucks. Like, he gets in a car and he's getting chased by two trucks.
Yes, I noticed this too.
And I was like, I think they've done this for real. I think they've actually done some really badass car stunts
here.
They
did. They did, because they also clearly covered it with a lot of different cameras that don't match in terms of camera quality, because you cut to a shot that looks really different.
Yeah, right.
And it was like, so I thought that was a deliberate choice.
No, that will be.
Oh, now it's real life.
That will be a budgetary constraint and how many cameras they could have at the same time.
But this is the thing, right? Where it was like, this, they've done this really impressive stunt.
Yeah.
And then they've chosen to, like, film it in such a way that you don't see the stunt happening. Like, you don't actually feel. This is one of the last eras in movies where they did real stunts.
Yeah.
And then you can't even see the stunts. Like, they could have just
done
the stunt.
It's so weird. The other layer to it that, and this is just to give the last gamer point of view thing, it was so funny to see the action play out in terms of the video game, knowing that this character was supposed to be good at gaming, because he plays like how I play COD. Not ducking, never taking cover anywhere, never reloading, running into the open, like just choosing all of the most high hot areas to run into without any kind of protection. And you know what happens when you do that online? You die straight away. There is so instant repercussions.
Oh, that is so funny.
Yeah, it's like, it's so funny to me that they're selling that. You don't even see him, using cover, being strategic, like grabbing items. Anyway, it just.
But even that, like, how good would that drama have been if it was like, the player wasn't as good as he was.
And you could switch it out. Like, it was like a different person could be playing you.
Oh,
you
And like,
to me, I thought that's what, instead it was just this one kid.
Yeah.
But how interesting would it have been if it was like, every single game, you never know who you're going to get. You're three away, but you've got no idea who's playing you last. And then the last game is played by someone like me who's just like, oh,
and that's
shit,
the
sorry.
Idea. Yeah. It's almost a horror of like, get out, get out, get out.
Yeah.
They did it once, but like, I mean, actually, now that I talk about
there's
it, could
so
have been
much
really
in this is what's so disappointing
but
about it.
I have a bit of a soft spot for like these, for mid-budget sci-fi films that completely blow their premise. I kind of love it.
Yeah. It's 100%. It's like, here's a fuckload of money. Just make it. Come on, just go. Like,
No, here's not much money. That's what I love about it. He's a bit of money.
So I'd like to jump on to talking about Legs real quick, if that's okay.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
This movie was made right after the third Ice Age film.
Yeah, great.
And right before a series of movies similar to this. Like, we've watched Repo Man, Vanishing on 7th Street, those kind of things. So I think this was his era of, like, just taken work. I don't know if there was a lot of like big things in the works for him at the time.
If someone came to me with that slate of people attached and said that, I like, yeah, obviously you do it. Like,
and I will say, and I know we say this all the time, and because we're clearly quite obsessed with the man, he was very good in the role that he was given.
I think all the cast were great.
Terry Crews, but I don't think this is Terry Crews' fault. No. It's hard watching Terry Crews just,
I just killed someone. I've got that blood on
my hands. Do you want to come and see? But when I watch Terry Crews, I'm so used to seeing Terry Crews do comedy.
But
that when I see Terry Crews do badly written bad boy from an action film, it was just a bit difficult to watch. And the best part was when he was doing that dance on a basketball court.
Oh, my God. Can I just bring up, you say your point about
Terry
Crews.
I was just going to say, like, I wonder if, like, the Terry Crews thing is, like, did he start doing comedy as like the opposite of what your problem is
now? Yes, I think he was playing against type
he was playing against.
I think when he did White Chicks, it was a result of like being in a bunch of like this sort of stuff.
I find so funny when that reverses.
Yeah.
I almost feel like John Hamm's on that part.
Yes.
Where like I think of him as a comedic actor.
Yeah, and we
now.
He's an incredible dramatic actor. Mm.
And
he's
like his
so
whole thing is
Man.
Like, you know, hey, I can be funny too. It's like, I know you've been funny most of the time.
Yeah,
like,
Can I just say, can we just take a moment and just like really bask in the drink a bottle of vodka to then throw it up and use as, and I think he pissed in the car as well so that he could have fuel to escape the video game.
In 2034, when this film was made, cars run on alcohol.
When it was set.
Sorry?
It was set in 2034.
Yeah, but that's like I think they said
when this film was made.
When the film was,
whoa.
And take with that what you will, and we never record another episode.
We're from the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, people Google gamer and it doesn't exist.
What do you mean?
This movie doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And we release this episode immediately, delete all of our socials and disappear and no one ever sees us again.
Like, on just quickly on this, I watched a TikTok this morning of like a kid explaining like dimensional planes and
we have different TikTok algorithms.
Yeah, we do. But there's a
there was
something where they were like, and this kid disappeared the next day. I'm like, you're trying to imply that he went to a different dimensional plane and I'm on board.
So anyway, in 2034, where this movie was set, cars run on alcohol and he needs a car. So he drinks a fuckload of alcohol, then vomits it up into the,
it's one of the best, into the car and then the fuel part of the car
and then pisses in it. And I then also can love start that the
they
car.
Don't set yeah. up like they don't set up. This movie is like a fiend for not setting stuff up earlier.
Yeah.
Like the way they set up the cars run on alcohol is when he like opens the like tank thing and it's just like runs on it.
Oh, I 100% didn't notice that it car said runs on alcohol. At some point, my brain went, maybe there's something in alcohol in the way that our human digestive system processes it that makes it into the usual fuel that we use. Like, that was the amount of grace I gave this film when that happened, because I missed that detail. I was like, it's interesting. Maybe that's part of the process. Like,
if only you knew that when your car broke down that time and you could have just pissed in my car.
I was like, oh, I just thought you weren't supposed to use. Okay,
that
cool.
That was particularly stupid.
Yeah, it was incredible.
So Johnny Legs' character, he plays this inmate named Freak, who is just kind of there for a lot of exposition.
It's fun
to see
him doing a fun character.
Yeah, I think he had fun. It was very, I reckon, a lot of ad-libby stuff. He was very chit-chatty. And in true Legs form,
dies.
We see him, does a great scene, a really beautifully set scene as well. Like, it's a really lovely shot of him and Gerard. Has a scene and then fucking dies.
Yeah.
That's a very Johnny Legs, and I want to bring that into our conversation about Leguistamos in a bit, because it's a very Johnny Legs thing to do in a film.
Yeah, true.
I thought he was great. I think he had a lot of fun doing this role. It's very fitting for 2009, John.
And his death was very quick, but also in equal part given a lot more room than a lot of the deaths
in
the movie.
Zoe Bell.
Yeah.
Can I say, actually...
But I was like, that's fun.
In terms of narratively fixing this film, right, one of the things that... And not to be too screenwriter nerd about it, but one of the things that immediately made me on the back foot was, like, we get this great scene of all of the avatars in the truck sort of starting to share maybe why they're doing it. And I was like, if we had stayed in that and had the exposition of how the stuff actually worked come out there, instead of immediately crossing to this like TV show, the TV show thing really pissed me off, because they then cut to that and then set up using this one woman's TV show to set up the entire concept of someone else. It was like, oh, we were really close, guys. We were so close. We were so close to doing this well. It could have been really, like, instead of exposition. It could have been this cool, like, character study. Oh.
Oh, there were so many things going into
so
it.
So close.
I was like, when it first started,
so
even
close.
All,
so close.
All the way up to Kira Sedgwick's bit, I was kind of like, okay, I'm going to get into this. This could be really interesting. And then he pissed in a car. And there were so many boobs.
Even then, I'm on board for that if it was like...
I got to tell you, there was something so audacious about it in terms of like how much it missed the point. Like, it was like it knowingly missed the point. Like, if I want to be a script doctor on this, I throw it out, I rewrite it. Like, the story should be he's like... He's put to death row. He's given the decision whether or not to join. He joins. He's given a player that's not that good.
100%.
And I think a different player every time is far
or
more
something like that. And it's all about
or make
the
it about the relationship between, like we've
a
said,
a very simple story about him going into these games.
Yeah.
But. That's like, there's a choice.
But where would the tits have fit?
Yeah, where would we get the tits? And there were really, really great shots of just his wife bending over.
I thought
every
you were about to
minutes.
Say there were really, really great tits, because I agree. There were a lot of
breasts.
Really great tits.
But no, there were so many shots of his wife, who was which actor?
Oh, and also, curious, what are we?
What are we doing there?
Right, like we're saying, oh, women are used by the internet and it's bad. Bend over for every shot.
Wear no clothes.
Like, what are we doing there?
It was Amber Valletta.
I got to introduce you to every movie made before 2018, Lena. You know what? I reckon we can, if we just make a comment about it, we're allowed to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Make the comment by doing it.
It's the American Apparel.
Yes, it 100% is.
No, we're being ironic. We're actually making a comment on the exploitation of the women we're exploiting.
Anyway, buy these jeans.
What Lies Beneath? That is where I've seen her. Amber Valletta is from What Lies Beneath. So she's the wife. It's like that. Like, I just feel like they could have done so much with this. The base premise.
Do you want
a delightful little gem of the onion?
Just on casting, the guy that had the like Christopher Walken quiff.
Yeah, I thought that was Christopher Walken.
So
child.
He actually was in an episode.
Who is this?
He was in the movie. He was in like the team for Michael C. Hall in the movie.
Was he the one that turned it off at the end?
No, for some reason, this character just disappears.
Yeah, he was at the start with Kira Sedgwick.
I think they ran out of money. He's a great actor, and he was in an episode of Six Feet Under with Michael C. Hall, which is genuinely one of the best episodes of television I have ever watched. It is one of the best pieces of narrative I've ever watched. It is those two acting against each other. It is one of the most, and anyone who's seen Six Feet Under will know the episode I'm talking about. It is harrowing. It is tense. It is heartbreaking. It is brilliant. I know what these people are capable of. And this was still more harrowing to me. Those two in this film acting against each other. I was like, you fucking poured gasoline on the other one and threatened to light him on fire for being gay in the episode that I watched.
Oh my God.
And then this is more upsetting. It's like, it's so.
Michael C. Hall, there's a bit in this where he dances.
Yes.
Wasn't that great?
Because it was like Megan did it in that horror movie and we all loved it. And I was like, I reckon TikTok would have gotten around this.
Yeah. Well, it gave me a bit like YOLO.
The reason I liked that scene. I was genuinely like, one of them's going to bring up how fucking ridiculous that was. But the reason I liked
we're all there.
So there's a part where Gerard Butler's looking for Michael C. Hall and finds him. And Michael C. Hall has gotten a whole bunch of these
avatar
types, and he's dancing with them to this very kind of like Fosse style kind of dance.
Could have been brilliant.
I liked it because it made me think, okay, they're very self-aware. They know what they're doing here.
You're giving them the credit that I gave them for understanding how alcohol and stomachs work.
True. No, but I just felt like they were YOLO is right. Very 2009.
This is a movie where, like, if people go, oh, it's dumb, that I feel like the directors are like, yeah. I think so.
You think they were really doing something here?
I think that they wanted it to be, I can see them in 2010. In Hollywood wearing like a big, like a shirt with a big collar on it that goes to their shoulder.
Yeah.
And that's like how they've dressed up for the business meeting. There's probably some lines of coke around and they're like, cigarettes hanging out of their mouths.
In fairness, they haven't made enough. And they certainly haven't made enough that's hit it big time for them to be making too many risks of like, let's just make a dumb movie.
But
I do think that this scene was put in there to go, don't take this too seriously.
That's what I would say of them. I think there's an element where they're like, they're not asking for too much money. They're just like, don't give us $200 million. Just give us $50 million and let us do whatever the fuck we want. And they're like, this movie looks a bit dumb. And they're like, well, we're not asking for a $200 million.
I feel like they pitched it as like, we are going to say something about, we don't see anything about gaming, and we are going to show the world what gaming culture really is. Right. Yeah. This is Reddit as a film. This is like trolling if we could give each other the ability to do it. Think about the psychology of where we're heading. And everyone's like, sounds great. Please, can I have some more vermouth? That's not the drink.
I think the lines of coke, coke really sell it for me. Vermouth.
Yeah.
But I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Which is, I think these guys, I think we're going, oh, it's not as smart as they think it is. I don't think they think it's smart. I think they're like, fucking sick. Who's fucking dancing, man?
Yeah,
And what that's going to say is like, look at what he can do. He can make the tough guys dance.
It's the fucking internet,
it's going to be
man.
Crazy, man. They're going to be like, oh my God, even these buff guys are moving against their will. They would never dance like that.
Imagine if we got Terry Crews.
Yeah. And he's going to be like covered in blood and man, he's going to be really menacing.
We should get fucking Dexter to do it, man. Yeah. I fucking know a guy who knows
yeah,
Dexter.
Yeah, I reckon I could get him. Yeah, and who do you want to fuck? We'll put them in it.
I reckon that I also think that dance scene for me is one of those moments, you know, like a moment in a movie where it's like with a dance scene where it's like every what you hate about this movie and what you love about this movie is intrinsically linked.
Oh, yeah.
Like if they cut what you hate about the movie, because I reckon what happened is Michael C. Hall went to them one day. He's like, I think I should do a dance.
Yes, I fully believe that.
When they come in, he's like, when he comes in, I reckon I should be dancing with them. And they were like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Oh. You're sick.
Oh, my God.
Do we have final thoughts about
that? Yeah, I've got one final thought, which is I think that Keira Sedgwick, Holly Hunter, and Jennifer Jason Leigh should do a movie together. Because I always get them a bit muddled up.
Really?
Yeah, so...
So you just need a movie so you can tell
I think they could play sisters or something.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got that same... They've got a very similar voice and they've got a very similar, like, punky attitude. They've got a real, like...
They're also given...
Oh, Holly Hunter. I was thinking of Holly Valance.
Oh,
I was
why?
Like, because when he said Holly Hunter, I was just like, Holly Valance?
Yeah, no. I'm
like, Holly Valance is nothing
Holly
like...
Holly Hunter, the one that's a lot like Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah, that's what makes sense.
I was like, I reckon I should do a movie together.
Yeah.
That's it.
That'd be fun.
Kind of like how we put all the Margot Robbie types in the Barbie one so that we could... There's another Margot
Did you hear
Robbie
about
type.
That? Like, this is an aside, but did you hear about, you know, how the girl from...
Sex Education
is in Barbie.
Yeah. Mm.
And the reason they put her in was because everyone said they looked alike.
I would, yes.
But then they dyed her hair brown because I think they wanted, because she's the only stereotypical Barbie. They dyed her hair brown and they're like, and more than that, once they actually put them in a shot together, they were going to like make jokes in
really
the story
different.
About how similar they look. And then they put them in a shot next to each other and they're like, oh, actually, they don't look
it
that alike.
It does have that like internet effect of where they say it online and you maybe, they pick pictures that help the cause. Mm. And like, it is a specific thing and like, you can see it more than other people. But yeah, I think once
if you actually
really
put
trying
them in
to,
a room.
Yeah, because I think the chick from that Jason Lee show.
I think she looks a lot like Margot Robbie.
Yeah, but
My
I
name
also
is Earl.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think it's like she goes in that group.
Presley,
yeah.
Janie, Janie Presley.
I genuinely also think if you put them all
in
together,
a room together,
yeah,
you
would
actually
kind of go,
wouldn't.
Ah.
But how good for that Sex Education girl.
Yeah.
That's like because the internet says she looks a bit like Margot Robbie, she's in one of the biggest movies of all time.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
I personally don't have any final thoughts about this film.
Nor did this film.
Yeah, exactly.
I think my final thoughts are as doing what the film does, and I blew my load earlier and now have nothing left.
I will put it out there. I would love for listeners to actually genuinely let us know what you thought of this one. I want to hear from people who love this film.
We should do
or didn't.
I want to do as
or
either,
didn't, but I really want to hear from people who like this is like in my
we
top
We do not
10.
Have to do this together, but we could do a stream where we talk to people about it.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I'm probably going to end up talking about it. Yes.
I do have one more final thought. Is that these directors are so straight in their like aesthetic because they get the COD and the war so fantastically.
So well.
And then as soon as it's like an erotic fantasy land, it's just like, I don't know, we put them in some sexy dresses. Like there's no aesthetic strength.
It was so funny to see the aesthetic like of the sex land being like the trees are covered in plastic.
Yeah.
And there was a scene where she was wearing a glove, which it was like that. It would look like a sensory toy for ADHD. Yeah. Like it was like this
glove, cool
glove that she could pull on. Yeah. And I was like, what sexual... Maybe I'm naive, but what sexual purpose does that serve?
No.
Anyway, it was silly. It was wild.
We'll jump to Leguistamo's. Obviously, Lena, you would know that Leguistamo's is how Leguizamo-y the film was, not what we thought of the film out of five, but how Leguizamo-y it is. So let it be known that I've got my... Can I give my score first? Do you mind?
Yeah,
I'm going to give it 3 Leguistamo's.
Yeah.
Now, I would not give this 3 stars, but I would give it 3 Leguistamo's because it is Johnny... No, 3.5.
Mm.
It's 3.5 because... John's amazing in it. It's really well suited. I think he had fun. And it's like the trajectory of this character's like journey through this film is exactly, is so John Leguizamo.
Yeah, yeah. It's like strong character actor, strong.
Dies.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Gets to do strong like some presence. Voice stuff, got to do some ad lib. I think John, like, it's very John. So it gets 3.5 Leguizamos from me.
I'm going to give it 3.5 as well. I think because when I saw this movie and that he was in it, I was expecting him to play like a suit. Or like because what he tends to get in these sorts of movies is less the suit. John Wick is a really good example of the sort of character he normally plays. Like the tough, but what the fuck are you talking about? Act two, da-da-da. So that he got to play something a little kooky and a little crazy. Mm. I think there are other parts in this film he could have ended up playing first. So I thought Ludacris's character. No, I don't know.
Oh, we didn't even get to talk about Ludacris.
There's nothing more to say except, yeah.
he was Ludacris was a hacker.
Yeah. you see him, you're like, yep.
I give it 3.5 stars.
Leguizamos.
Leguizamos. I probably give it 3 stars, though. I want to own that. I think this is the sort of movie you could get some fish and chips, take away, watch it on DVD on
you
a Friday night.
You give this movie
night.
3 stars? It gets 2 from me. Mm. It gets a 2. A solid 2, but
do
it gets
know
a
why?
2.
You but really do you know why I give it 3 stars? Is it's not good, but it holds my held my attention. Okay. And it was entertaining. Actually, I probably give it 2 because of the camera work. That
about
2.5.
It
really, really
took
me out of it.
If this movie had better, didn't have that dated kind of Battle Los Angeles camera work, which I want to say I love Paul Greengrass. It's not Paul Greengrass. It's the not getting it.
Yeah.
If I knew what was going on visually, I think it would have been a 3-star film.
Such an unfortunate thing to say.
Lena, what's your Leguizamo rating?
I think I'm going to do the same thing, 3, for all the reasons we've already discussed. He has his moment. He's easily one of the most recognizable and, like, one of the faces that you're with when they're in the scene. And I think that says something.
Absolutely.
Because there were heaps of faces in this where I was like, oh, it's them. But with him, you're like, oh, it's him.
Yeah,
and,
it is,
and,
isn't it?
And then also, yeah, and I think that was evidenced by him being given a hero's death in this, which is no, move on. Yeah. And not many people got that in this.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. This movie was funny.
We totally fucking should have done this at the top, and I'm sorry that we're leaving it till the end. But Lena, do you have anything that you wish to promote?
We talked about the
Twitch
stream.
Yeah,
Twitch,
I mean, so that is good. Like, that's my thing at the moment is streaming. So my Twitch is twitch.tv/LenaMoon. And obviously I'm in a duo called Annie and Lena, and I love that as well. And we don't have any shows coming up, so I'm not in the mind of promoting that. But please follow it so that when we do need to put information out about shows, you can come see us. We do sketch.
Yeah, sure. It's the best sketch I've ever seen.
But Lena's also a stand-up and the best stand-up I've ever
seen.
Okay,
I haven't really done stand-up.
Lena's also a comedian and my friend, and I'd say maybe like one of my best friends.
This is fun.
Lena is better than you, Mitch.
Yay for being here.
So much for being best friend goals all over the internet. Thank you so much to all of our listeners. As always, we totally appreciate you for joining us. What should Tom take us away with? Let's make it easy.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Nintendo style music, like 8-bit style.
Oh, you can get
MIDI music.
Yeah, you know? Can get Life by Desiree on MIDI off YouTube. I'm not sure.
Okay, that's like gets through the legal loopholes. Okay. If that's legal, Tom, do that. But just broadly, just MIDI style.
Oh yeah,
music.
Sorry.
thank you so much, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next week. Bye bye now.